Hello and welcome to episode 22 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I can't believe we're still on the air. I'm Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunislav, and with me as always...
Hello, I am Ben Sandler, also known as Ben Threfor, and I can believe we're still on the air because we decide what goes on around here.
Damn right.
And that means we do what we want. And yeah. What we want to do right now is another podcast. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. What's going on? I'm good. I've just finished the last big job at my day job today So I got a few little cleanup things to go, but then I'm going to have a bit of free time to just basically draw pictures, work on games. So yeah,
lovely.
How about you? How are you going currently? How do you find yourself?
I'm finding myself well. The weather has once again gone down. The temperature has dropped here in lovely New York. The leaves are falling from the trees. It's a nice environment to get around and, you know, work on your game, which is, stay inside and work on your game, which is what I'm doing right now.
Can I just say, if I wanted to talk about the weather, I would have been with you alone and not on a podcast.
Well, you know, something happens, and I just, I go head over heels, and
I work
out until I'm head over heels. You know, it's okay. It's okay.
Genius.
So, yes, good.
So what's been going on? What have you been playing lately? You've been playing a bit of Rayman?
I have been playing a bit of Rayman. My cousin came over to visit me last night, and we played Rayman, and we got to play Kung Foot, which is a little thing that they added in Rayman Legends, which is basically soccer. But you can only play with two players. It doesn't let you play by yourself. Damn that Michel Ancel.
Well, that's good. Did you get any trophies from your cousin being there? Was it worthwhile?
I actually did get a trophy from finishing a game of Kung Foot with another player, yes.
And you were pretty excited about this, I bet.
To say that I was pleased would be correct. And possibly.
Look, I know you. I know how you feel about trophies, and that's fine. You're an achievement-based sort of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool. I'm not judging you. Good. Uh-huh.
Sure.
Been playing anything else?
The jaw harp. Good. I played it for my cousin, and he was impressed with my.
I bet he was, man. Jaw harps are amazing.
They really are. But aside from that, yeah, I haven't really been playing anything. I've continued to watch Breaking Bad, and
I watched the film.
I know
the film, and it wasn't even
crazy boy.
It wasn't even a comedy this time. Well, not intentionally. It's pretty sensational.
Tell us about this film.
I don't want to talk about it too much because, you know, when you find a rare gem like this, you know, you don't want anyone else to know about it in case, you know, you don't want to
Don't be selfish. Tell the public what they like.
I watched a film called Priest, religious cleric guy. And it's basically a cross between cowboys, The Matrix, vampires, and something else. I have no idea what else, but there's something else in there.
What you're saying is it was, you know, when you're a kid and you have a bunch of different action figures and you kind of just put them all together and make new adventures with all of them.
Yeah, when you get all your Lego sets and you build, like, some big hybrid Lego thing.
Right,
no idea how to classify it. That's what
You take your Batman figures and your Ninja Turtles, and you know you have Batman Ninja Turtle Adventures. So someone did that and made a movie out of it.
It was splendid. If you've read the twist, which you haven't, and enjoyed the twist, which you haven't, although you've read the twist.
I read it.
One of only two people I know that have ever read the twist. Me being the other person.
Oh, okay.
Because I bought the twist and let you borrow it. Then you'll probably love this film. And other than that, you'll probably hate it and reckon it's the hokiest and most awful thing ever, which is fun. So there you go. I've been playing some games, cross games. I've been really enjoying Star Wars Dark Forces, which I hadn't played for years and years and years. As you know, I actually found a sealed box copy of that on eBay for $4 earlier in the year, so I didn't unseal my copy to play. I also have a second copy of it, which is something I do.
Of course you do.
I'm a collector.
I actually recently received in the mail yesterday a copy, a boxed copy of Rebel Assault, which in my effort to recover my old lost game boxes,
You finally got a copy of Full Throttle.
I was able to get. Yes, I'm the king of eBay. I got a copy of Full Throttle and The Colonel's Bequest, both in the box. The Colonel's Bequest shrink wrapped, And
pretty cool, man.
For less than $25. So both.
Each or?
No, both.
That's pretty
good. Altogether was less than $25.
Worth the wait.
Yep, absolutely.
I got some games I'm bidding on eBay, but I forget what they are.
Yeah, I still want to go and hit up some thrift stores and see if I can get lucky and find a box copy of some game somewhere. But I
yeah, man.
I
would say, judging from your eBay things, mm-hmm. don't just have $20 in your pocket. Take $25.
Well, the thing about thrift stores is that they tend to charge less for games. Most games, they mark them down to like $5. I really think it'd be rare to find an old... I mean, the only luck that I've ever had at a thrift store finding a game, it wasn't a game that I particularly wanted, but they had StarCraft and it was like some sort of battle chest deluxe edition thing, and it was
marked. I have the StarCraft battles. Yeah. I have the StarCraft battle chest. One of my friends got Favorite Landis for $1 in a thrift store. Wow.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
I got Conquest of Camelot for $1. That was my eBay success.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Did you ever finish that?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay, cool. Good. I remember you were playing through it, but I never heard if you finished it or not. You never told me.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
But yeah, I've been really enjoying Dark Forces. It impresses me. Because I haven't played a Jedi Engine game since Outlaws, which was... I really like LucasArts Outlaws. It was a great shooter, but...
I unfortunately have never played that.
It's a great game. Great animated cutscenes. Fantastic soundtrack. It's one of my favorite game soundtracks ever. I'll have to put a track on Top Scores at some point. Because it's very atmospheric. Very, very fitting to the setting.
Good.
So, yeah. I've been playing a bit of The Whispered World. It remains stunning, but... It's starting to get something. It's starting to beat me. I don't know if I'm gonna finish through this game. So oh man, some of the puzzles are just yeah.
Mm.
But it's yeah. I'm getting there. So okay.
Good.
I don't know. I'll try and stick with it. You know.
Okay. Well, I'm curious to see if you do because I want to know what your reaction is to the ending.
Okay. Because
from what I've read on Wikipedia, well, let's just say yeah.
Man. Here's the thing. Look,
it's one of those.
Anybody can edit Wikipedia pages.
Yeah, but you think someone's going to bother trolling of something as obscure as The Whispered World to give false information?
Yes.
Okay. Do you do that on a regular basis?
I've been guilty of.
Have you ever edited a Wikipedia page?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I've made Wikipedia pages. I've made some naughty Wikipedia pages that are just relevant to nothing. Well,
let's share. Somebody, let me tell you something. Somebody, I believe it was Baron in the thread, said that he enjoyed the fact that we offered up some backstory in the last podcast.
Yeah,
so I think we should offer up a little bit more backstory.
Well, I was dating a girl and we had pretty nerdy pastimes. She had collected all of the Pokemon. If you want to know how big a nerd she was. She was, like, I mean, like,
so she had actually caught them all?
Yeah, I think so. She, or close to them all. You know, she laughed at my meager Pokemon skills. 5 gym badges. That's all I've ever gotten.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never played Pokemon.
Okay, well, let's
move on.
Five gym badges is basically pathetic. That's like unlocking 2 of the 3 islands in a Grand Theft Auto game.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, so, and one of the things that we used to do for fun and to make each other laugh was to edit Wikipedia pages. So, you know.
Okay.
So we would make imaginary pages and we did other stuff. Like, I remember once we edited Jenny McCarthy's Wikipedia page to claim that she was actually Satan. And we did stuff like that, you know, just fun stuff. So, yes, I have edited Wikipedia pages and created ones of my own. So, there you go.
Which ones have you created on your own?
Oh, well, not of anything of any importance. Ones that got deleted after, like, we used to time how long it would take to get them deleted.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's always fun.
So, yeah. So, have you ever edited a Wikipedia page?
I have, actually, yeah. So
was it your own?
No, I don't have one anymore.
Oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Mine got deleted for irrelevance.
I'm no longer significant.
I'm not significant enough for Wikipedia. No, it was the Wikipedia page on Spartacus, actually.
Okay.
Because
the film? Or the historical figure?
No, the historical figure. Have you ever,
I think I remember this.
Yeah, I'm sure I told
this
you this.
It's ringing a bell.
So I was Skyping with a friend of mine, and I don't remember how we ended up on Wikipedia, but we were looking at pages, and we looked at Spartacus. And if you go to the Spartacus Wikipedia page, you'll see that there's a picture of a statue of Spartacus that some French artist did in like the 1830s, and he was imitating the classical Greek statues. And I mean, you're a cultured guy. You've seen Greek statues before.
Yeah, man, I have Greek blood in me.
That's true. You do. So yeah, you're familiar with the Greek statues.
Yeah,
And
dude, I've read Homer's The Odyssey.
of course. So there's most Greek statues are nude, and
Yeah.
they're there for the whole world to see, and whatever. Now Spartacus is the same, obviously, but Spartacus, he's a bit. Let's just say it was cold when Spartacus
Right.
was sculpted. And I
Okay.
mean, I've seen some Greek statues that was probably cold when they sculpted, but Spartacus was really cold. Like Spartacus was
Yeah.
like Byron Bay
Yeah.
with water cold.
Right. Wow. Bad. Like, don't worry about the sharks biting anything off because
There's nothing to bite. Yes.
it's all hardy seafood.
Exactly. So it looks hilariously disproportionate because the rest of the statue is like, a big bulky Spartacus guy, and then he's got this little wee wee. So my friend and I, being the mature, people that we are, laughed about this forever. And so I was like, all right, it's time to edit this page. So I edited the page and put something along the lines of like, Spartacus got his name because it sounds like asparagus, which is kind of what his wee wee looks like.
Good.
Yes. So.
That seems historically accurate to me.
Yeah.
Being Greek, being one quarter Greek, I can verify your story, Wikipedia. Change the page back.
That got deleted in about the span of maybe 15 to 30 seconds. So I'm
Yeah.
pretty proud that it was
I
there a
that
bit.
reminds me, I once went with a friend to the Perth Art Gallery. And we had a nice time, but there's a sculpture in there. And he hasn't got really got he has he's got a he's got a you know he's got a normal size wee wee, but his testicles are huge. And I actually caused a scene in the museum, actually, in the art gallery.
Did you get Stendhal syndrome?
What is Stendhal syndrome? Please inform me.
Stendhal syndrome is when you look at a work of art and you're so overcome by emotion that you.
Oh yeah, I've heard of this. No, I did not get that at all.
Good.
That didn't even mildly happen. I caused a bit of a scene and got some strange glances
Did you
by
scream out loud,
talking.
"Look at the
No, I
size of
didn't.
those things"?
I just questioned in a sort of in a loud
Voice.
voice. I wasn't
With your
screaming.
normal speaking voice.
No, louder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There you go. So yeah. So anyway, let's move on from films and art, from
Yeah.
culture basically,
Well, we
and let's
want
talk
to
about
be.
important things,
Yeah,
games.
like games. Okay, games,
So
please.
have you? I know you want to talk about a game that's been announced recently.
Yes. Yes, I do.
So I think it was just today. It's very, very recent. This is hot off the press. Although by the time this podcast goes
Well,
out, it'll be quite cold off the press.
yeah.
And everybody knew this was going to happen. But Jane Jensen's Mystery Game X is a remake of Gabriel Knight 1, and
Yes,
it is being done by
it's.
Phoenix Online Studios, who are
Well,
noted for.
no. Let's get our information right.
Let's
It's
do
being done by Jane Jensen's studio, Pinkerton Road, in conjunction with Phoenix Online. I believe Phoenix
Right.
Online is I don't know what their involvement is, but it's some kind of involvement.
Okay, so it's Pinkerton Road, who is
And I
Jane
think
Jensen's company.
Activision is actually involved somehow
Are they
too.
publishing it?
I think
I
they
wonder if
might.
they've bought the rights from Sierra.
I don't
I
know.
think they would. I think
Well,
Activision own quite a few Sierra
is.
rights.
Yeah, they have most of the Sierra stuff.
Okay, so that's probably how they're involved. They're just as a licensee or something like
Yeah.
that, or
Yeah.
licensor. But
Well,
yeah,
yeah.
so we've been briefly, and it says a lot about the screenshots that I just before we came on the podcast, a mutual friend of ours who we've actually stayed with and does Let's Plays and likes old adventure games,
Yes.
basically said, "Ben, have you seen the Gabriel Knight remake graphics?" And I said, "Yeah, I just looked at them before." And he's like, this is not what I want from a Gabriel Knight remake." So you've told me how you feel, but you haven't told the listener of our podcast how you feel about the graphics. so far that have been shown. How do you feel?
Well, I don't like them.
Okay.
I don't like them.
Objectively speaking, what strikes you as
well? Objectively speaking, what I don't like about I've seen several screenshots that they've placed. Also, if you'll excuse me if I sound a bit distracted just now, because I just clicked on a link to an interview with Jane Jensen where they asked about the voice acting, and she says that they don't have the original voice files anymore, so they redid all the voice acting with people from Bay Area Sound, which are the voice actors that Telltale uses. So
no Tim Curry?
No Tim Curry, and no...
That's a little upsetting.
No Tim Curry, no Mark Hamill, no Leah Remini, no anybody.
That's a little upsetting.
Yeah. That's a little upsetting, yes. Anyway... Okay. The point is, yes, the graphics. We were talking about the graphics. So the first screenshot that I saw that was released was the interior of St. George's Books, and it's 3D, and they've expanded the viewpoint from the original game, and so you see a little bit more of the upstairs area, which serves no purpose in the game whatsoever. And, I mean, the camera angle is more or less the same, but... What struck me about it was the painting on the wall looks like it's just a poorly imported texture, and that someone did in like 2 seconds in Photoshop painting over the original. And
well, the dude only gets $100 for it.
Yeah, that's true, but still, it was his daddy's painting.
Would you say that if I said it was now a soulless, empty husk of its former glory, would you feel that's an accurate? If slightly nasty description?
I would agree with you 120%.
Okay.
Actually, I'd agree with you 304%.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Someone actually said the number 304 to me tonight.
Really?
And I said, oh, that's good. But yeah, so I'm used to doing production art. I've been doing it for a little while now, so I can't pick on it too much because I can see what they're doing, but compared to the Gabriel Knight originals, which are stunning,
yeah,
these are a little... They lack something. There's something missing there. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but it's very plain.
It's the problem that you get with most pre-rendered 3D backgrounds, which is that they tend to look very plastic. I mean, the bookstore in Gabriel Knight 1 is obviously an old building. It's got all these old books. It feels like a bookstore. I mean, in the original background, you could almost smell the old books, you know? It's that atmospheric, going back to our chats about atmosphere in games. Whereas this 3D just makes it look plastic, and the lighting is weird, and it just looks like a... It looks like... I don't know what it looks like, but it doesn't look like St. George's Books to me. No. It just looks like
to be honest,
crappy warehouse.
I miss Gabriel's old hair. I miss his hair.
Yeah, me too.
And I miss people teasing him about his hair.
Yeah.
Because that was a big part of the game.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I saw that background and I thought, oh man, I can only imagine what the sprites are going to look like. And it didn't take long before I went to the official website and saw what the sprites look like. And yeah, there's a screenshot of a test of Gabriel's different views in Jackson Square, and oh my god, that background just made me sad, because I mean, textures all over the place, badly photoshopped textures, it looked like something out of a bad background made in The Sims 2. It just...
Man, are you kidding me? The Sims 2 is pretty.
Yeah, well, that's why I said a bad background made in The Sims 2.
So yeah, I get the impression that you're not anticipating this remake very highly. I don't think I'll even bother getting, you know, because I honestly, when Sierra did Gabriel Knight 1 and they tried to make it SVGA with the super high res objects and that, you look at it and you just go, man, why would you try and fix perfection?
Yeah,
Gabriel Knight 1 was lovely, and yeah, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to modernize it for a modern audience, but you know what? Remake a classic film in Casablanca in like modern techniques, and no one's going to like it. But it's for good reason, you know.
It's like That's like remaking Casablanca with that technique that they used for all those motion capture Robert Zemeckis movies, like the Polar Express and Beowulf and stuff.
Yeah.
That's, if they tried doing that and they used models that looked like Humphrey Bogart and...
Man, you know, but Beowulf looks stupid. Do you watch Beowulf?
No, I didn't.
This has become the film podcast. Maybe the next Beowulf film has actually watched Beowulf, and it looked ridiculous. It didn't look like humans at all.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not interested in the Gabriel Knight remake at all.
Okay.
I mean, Gabriel Knight is one of my favorite games. I still have it. It still runs on
DOS. I think it's really obvious that Gabriel Knight is one of your favorite games, just by the games you make, you know? And yeah.
Yeah.
So, also, there's two podcasts in a row we've talked about Gabriel Knight now.
Yeah, you're right. It's turning into my own personal Planescape Torment.
Yeah. I'll get a job.
Yeah, good. I'm wondering how they're going to redo the interface, because Gabriel Knight 1 was famous or infamous for having so many different icons that no other Sierra game did. Yeah, an unusual amount of icons. So I'm wondering if they're going to preserve that, or if they're going to streamline it in some sort of weird way. And if they do, how are they going to do the clock puzzle?
I hope they streamline it for iPad so bad that everyone hates it and they and people get over this remake malarkey.
Yeah, I know. I mean...
I'm trying to think of games that I want remade. I don't want games remade. I want games ported perfectly. I want games to be just how they were, but me playing them on a machine now without having to run, you know, old hardware.
I don't want games remade unless they remake them and make them look good. Like...
I still haven't played the Beyond Good and Evil HD. Was that worth it?
Yeah, because it didn't really look all that different from
didn't
the original.
Change. Yeah.
Didn't change just it some... much. They just... Because obviously, if you're going to... The only real difference in textures as far as HD is obviously if you're going to play... Have you tried playing old PlayStation... Well, of course you have. You've played old PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games on HD TVs. They look terrible.
No, I don't have an HD TV.
Oh, okay. Well,
you've seen my television. You've seen me play Bioshock on my television.
I didn't remember. You had a big screen TV.
It's a big glass one. It's a heavy thing.
Do you know what my TV was when I first started playing PlayStation 3 games? It was a little 13-inch analog TV. So, yeah. I made kind of a jump. Now I have a 22 or 27. I don't know. I think it's 26-inch TV. Baby. Okay. Anyway, so the thing is, if you play PlayStation 2 games, because I used to have my PlayStation 2 hooked up to the TV, if you play them now on an HD TV, first of all, they don't support widescreen mode, so you have square aspect ratio, and they're really pixely and really jaggy, and you can't really tell what's going on. So essentially, just the HD remix just makes it playable on a high definition
okay.
TV, which is fine.
That's fair
essentially,
enough. That's
it's
good.
Just it looks exactly the same.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Well, see, I think what they did with Baldur's Gate is just use the exact same graphics, but just, you know, just make the resolutions higher and tweak a few little rough patches.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you got, so yeah.
Which is like what they did with the God of War remakes that they did for the
from
HD
PSP
updates.
To yeah.
Right. The ones from PS2 and the PSP ones, and what they did with Ico and Shadow of the Colossus and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So. There's not really much you have to do. It's just getting it running on modern systems and making it look passable, which is fine. But just this whole 3D thing, and even like the Monkey Island remix. You know, I said this already, but I feel the same way that you felt about Monkey Island 1, that you got all mad and furious. That's how
I got furious because there's literally areas of incompetence, like utter incompetence in the Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition. But anyway.
Yeah.
So there's
I'm wondering what it would have been like if they had remade Monkey Island in 3D. People would have probably flipped.
Yeah.
Probably. It's interesting that they chose to stick with 2D for those remakes. But it's sad because, like, if you're going to stick with 2D...
Make it better, not worse.
Good, yeah, exactly. That's the weirdest thing of it all, you know? You'd think that... I mean, all they had to do was trace over the backgrounds, which they did fairly obviously, and yet
they
look awful.
Yeah. Oh, well, the second one looks better.
But
it loses a lot of the character that the first game had. The original version of the second game had. That's what I'm trying to say. I can talk. That's fine. I'm a functioning human being. My trachea is ready for this conversation. Let's go. Let's move. Shall we move on from Gabriel Knight Remake?
Sure.
Okay.
What do you want to talk
about? I've been looking at some games lately. I just found out about a couple of new games.
Yeah.
One I pre-ordered, and one I'm like, put a pre-order button up so I can pre-order it. One is called Halfway by a group called Robotality, which seems to be two guys or three guys. And it's basically seems to be a cross between XCOM and Jagged Alliance 2 with the graphics of something like the old Bitmap Brothers games. What's it called? The Something Machine. I've played it. It's a good one.
The Gene Machine?
No, not the Gene Machine. Is it even the Gene Machine? It was called... I can't even remember what it was called. I've played it. Hang on. I've got it right here. Let me look in my pictures for you. My screenshots.
Okay, fair enough.
The Chaos Engine. There you go.
Okay.
So it's really stylish. It looks exactly like... Have you played Jagged Alliance 2? You haven't, have you?
No, I have not.
Did you play Steam Marines?
No.
You play XCOM? You played...
I didn't play the original.
You played the new XCOM, didn't you?
I own the new XCOM.
Okay. How do you feel about it?
I finished the new XCOM. I enjoyed it.
Okay. This looks a bit like that, but with cute texture graphics. Yeah,
but yeah.
Oh yeah, those games always get a bit repetitive towards the end. Yeah, you know, that's. I think once you get your strategies worked out, you know.
Yeah.
That's just whatever. But yeah, Jagged Alliance 2 is one of my favorite games. So. I feel that I've stumbled onto something amazing, and I only found it because I went onto IndieStatic and looked up the screenshot scrutiny.
I see.
So, yeah, that's one that I've been looking at. The other is one that came up for pre-order on GOG today, and that's called Lily Looking Through. And I just took one look at the art style and thought, that looks really cute. It's got hand-painted sort of look on the scenes. And it's just, yeah, it's an adventure game. I can't say no. Okay, so yeah, I noticed there's one scene in particular. It's got these really... It's got a tree. You remember you did the tree with the royal ponciana or whatever they're called?
Oh, yeah.
And it's got really bright leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did the same kind of thing here. Oh, look at, I think it's, which screenshot is it? There's one here with the, this is.
Are you going to link me to a screenshot while
we're I'm linking you to
podcast that no one can see?
Of course I am. They can go to GOG. They can go to the GOG page, and they can click to the second lot of three screenshots into the one in the middle there and click that. And I love the colors there.
Okay. This just took me to the page. What screenshot am I looking at?
The screenshots underneath the video.
Is it the screenshot where she's going over a bridge with a blue butterfly?
Yep.
Okay, I see that.
So I really love the colors in that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
That's so, yeah. I've pre-ordered that, so I'm excited about that.
Okay.
I've also been playing a bit of Onight or Onit or whatever it is, and that's pretty fun. It's pretty cute. It's a little simple for my tastes, you know. It boils down to being more of a puzzle game than an adventure game, but that's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Mm.
It's one to relax with, you know. It's not like a sort of a Ben Jordan game where you're in a serious investigation or on some big epic adventure like Dreamfall or something like that. It's just a little relaxing game.
Sure.
But it's still pretty nice. So yeah.
Good. So on the subject of remakes, as long as we're trying to keep this podcast fairly consistent.
No, screw that.
Yeah, fair enough. So have there ever been any games that you've made that you thought, if I could go back and remake this, I would.
Do
you like to press on and move on to the next project?
For the longest time, I wanted to do a remake of Shifter's Box with the graphics that I do now. And then I went back and played Shifter's Box the other day. And I really
you play your own game? God, what a narcissist.
I really didn't enjoy it, so I'm like, I'm way over that now.
Well, no, but it's good. It's good to keep that as a reminder of where you came from.
Yeah, I was just like, it's just this. I think, you know, you focus on different. I know in different phases of development, you know, you focus on different things. Whether you focus on developing your art, especially if you're a sort of many tasks at once guy like you and I, where you try and code and write and draw and animate, and you know, do all the different stuff. So on certain games, I've been really focused on art, and on certain games, I've been really focused on, you know, puzzles or writing and everything like that. And I my focus has shifted since Shifter's Box, and now I'm just like, I don't know. I think I've had that phase, you know, I've moved on. So, yeah, I don't think... I played Heed recently, and I really expected to hate it, and I didn't hate it. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, the only thing I wish is that instead of having a nice friendly ending, I wish I'd left it mysterious.
Yeah, I think you talked about that last time, but
I might have done, yeah. But I was a little disappointed in myself.
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's good to come back and see where you came from.
Yeah, so instead of remaking stuff, and I'm notorious for not doing sequels and for not doing series. I make a little game and then I leave an open ending and then I move on. That's how I work. I like it when films and stuff. Yeah, I like it when films and stuff have open endings. You know, I don't feel that need to resolve things as much as people seem to. I'm quite happy to leave stuff open. So, I'd rather make a sort of, you know, just try something new than stick to what I know. And, yeah. I mean, I can see the point of once you develop a skill of working with it or a setting or anything like that. But I know even Dave Gilbert's the same when it comes to Blackwell at the moment. You know, he's ready to move on.
Yeah.
People have been asking him, oh, why is it the last game? And he just said, it's just time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I completely agree with him. I mean,
like you with Ben Jordan, everyone was going, make one more. And when it's time to move on, it's time to move on, you know?
Exactly. That's absolutely the truth. 100%.
Plus, and like you said when you were doing it, there's all these things you want to try, and you've had all these years of working with the same characters and the same source. Well, not the same settings, but the same modus operandus or whatever the thing is. And yeah, all of a sudden you've got this freedom. It's very refreshing, I find, to go into, after you've been doing the same thing for quite a while, it's refreshing and exciting and, you know, inspiring to go, I'm trying something new.
Exactly.
It's about learning.
Speaking as someone who actually did go back and do remakes of games, I did it because, like I said, like I have said in the past, it was a series, and when I did the first two games, I cranked those out, and I didn't really have a general idea of where I wanted to go with the whole thing.
Sure.
You know, it's not like Blackwell, where Dave, you know, he knew more or less what he wanted from the beginning, and he was able to and he made a commercial, you know, full-length first game.
Yeah.
I just did, you know, medium-length game.
Oh, I'm talking about first game, because it was Bestowals of Eternity, which he denies exists.
Well, yeah, of course. But
that was I like that.
We all know where he came from. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I made a quick little finish in 15 minutes crappy little game, and then I made another finish in maybe 30 minutes game, and then I really sat down with the third game, and that's where everyone says that it got good. So I was like, well,
yeah,
okay, let me go back.
Three was definitely where you hit your stride.
Yeah, so I was like, let me go back and fix these up there's not this huge disconnect. Plus, you know, if someone hears about it and they play the first one and they play the crappy first one, they're like, what the hell is everybody talking about? They're not going to necessarily want to play the other games, you know? And since
I think also, like, when you play the series as a series, but over, like, a course of several years, it's not really that dissonant when the style changes, but the dissonance is really noticeable if you sit down and play them all in one go.
Yeah, exactly. So, and even now, people still ask me, oh, why don't you remake the third and the fourth games? But
because it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets to the point where you'll always be improving. That's the whole point. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I look at screenshots. I just looked at a screenshot because Ashton Reyes was tweeting something, and as a joke, I tweeted him a screenshot from the Ben Jordan 2 remake, which that's the last... I mean, before Case 8, that was the last game that I had put out, and I had changed my art style to the art style that I basically use now, and at that time, I thought it looked good. I looked at some screenshots from that game now, and I'm like, man, I've improved even more since then, you know?
There's
so much room for improvement. So, yeah, if I just kept going back and back, I'd just I'd keep remaking them and keep remaking them until I died, and that's not what I want to do.
It's a dead horse that you flog in that situation.
Exactly. You know, I'm sure plenty of artists weren't 100% happy with their paintings that are hanging in museums right now. Not to be pretentious, I'm not comparing my games to the works of the great masters or anything like that. But my point is...
Okay, Raphael.
No one's, no one's ever... Yeah, emphasis on fail. in my case, anyway. But I'm sure no artist is ever 100% happy with their work. And if they are, I would go out on a limb and say that they aren't a true artist. So, yes, controversy.
Wow. So, I feel we're pushing boundaries here. This is getting to be... This is one of those raunchy podcasts. You know, getting political here.
You see that envelope over there?
You just pushed that. I saw it move.
But anyway, yes... So I don't think that anyone's ever 100% satisfied with their work. If you had the infinite opportunities with, you know, everything you learn and all your skills and everything, you'd just go back and do it over and over. And it's a waste of time. It's pointless.
Well, I think you may be happy with something when you finish it.
Yeah.
But then when you come back to it later, because I've had stuff that I've been quite happy with.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean,
and then
nobody...
you come back and go, oh, what was I thinking?
No, of course, unless you're like a real emo, horrible, sad person.
I am.
You're not going to be like, oh, I guess I finished it, but it's not good enough. You know, every single time you do that.
Well, I'm a sad guy. This is how I live my life. Don't judge me for this.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
It's true.
I know. I've spent
countless... You know how sad I am.
No,
I'm never cheerful.
I've spent countless nights listening to you crying and complaining about everything, and... You know, it's just gotten to the point where
eating.
It's like, yes, and eating your sweets and... Wait,
I find tears and burgers and sweets go well together.
No, you don't eat sweets, you eat bitters.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Bring me another crate of lemons.
Here's a licorice crate for you.
Oh man, licorice is delicious. They saw lemons, so...
Because it's bitter and dark like your soul.
Like my tears.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going with this. There have been stuff that I was happy with when I finished, and
where we're going with this is the whole remake thing. You know, why take something unless it's absolutely necessary? You can run Gabriel Knight on DOSBox. Why do they feel the need to?
You can run it.
Jane Jensen is going to pool her resources and sign a publishing deal with Activision and get people to work on this, why did she do a remake of Gabriel Knight instead of doing Gabriel Knight 4, which is a sequel that the fans have been clamoring for years, you know?
Yeah.
If they have the Gabriel Knight rights, obviously, they got it somehow, if they can do this, why not make another game?
Mm, I mean, I see exactly what you're saying.
Gabriel Knight 3 ended on a cliffhanger, which is probably never going to be resolved if she never makes a game. So, you know, the fact that she's involved in the production is just even more baffling, because the Monkey Island things, you know, the Monkey Island remakes, nobody talked to Ron Gilbert.
No, nobody cared about Ron Gilbert.
Yeah, or, you know, that they brought back Ron Gilbert and Tim Schafer and Dave Grossman to do the commentary for Monkey Island 2, but they weren't actually involved in the production, and nobody consulted with Al Lowe for, or did they, for the...
They had him on board.
Oh, okay. Now I'm
the Replay Games remake of Leisure Suit Larry?
Yeah, no, I was thinking about Leisure Suit Larry 8, or Magna Cum Laude. Or
well, obviously I didn't consult with...
Yeah.
That's not even really a Leisure Suit Larry game.
No,
I've actually played it, but nobody ever has anything good to say about it. Everyone basically denies that it's a Larry game.
I played it, and it's awful. I can vouch for it.
That bad?
Oh, man, it's terrible. I mean,
Well, I've played Leisure Suit Larry 2.
No, but Leisure Suit Larry, see, the thing about Leisure Suit Larry was that the it was always naughty and raunchy, but it was never flat out, you know.
Right, it was Beavis and Butthead naughty.
Right. Well, Leisure Suit Larry Magna Cum Laude has swearing. It has...
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, it has swearing. It has, actual, perverse, almost pornographic bits in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a Larry game.
No, it really isn't. It's basically, it's pretty bad. It takes everything that made Larry funny and just throws it out the window and makes it what you wanted Larry to be when you were a kid, and you realize that that's not what you wanted at all.
There's a reason it wasn't like that at all.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay. So, yeah. I'm glad you played it and not me then.
Yeah. Anyway, the fact that she's on board in her studio and that Robert Holmes is doing the music and everything, like, they have part of the core team. Why didn't they just do another game?
Yeah.
I
hear
you. Some questions can't be answered.
How do you, well, yeah, I mean, because you could say that that would end badly, but then Tales of Monkey Island was well received, even by many fans, so,
yeah.
You know.
That's true.
So it's, the potential is there to do good, I think.
Yeah. It really is, but for whatever reason, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what the reason is.
Money?
Probably too hard, and it costs too much to do a new game, so we'll just remake this one.
Mm.
I wonder if they're banking on this making a lot of money so they can, you know.
I don't know. I think they're...
Who understands game developers? Not I. Certainly not I.
No, I certainly don't either.
Good.
They're all a bunch of lunatics who deserve to be locked up.
Well, that's why I'm locked. That's why I'm locked in this little.
See that envelope? I just blew on it gently.
Yeah.
Speaking of blowing on things gently, I didn't have a segue there. I just wanted to be naughty.
I thought you were going to talk about Nintendo DS games.
Oh, of course. I've never had a DS, so I've never had the pleasure of blowing on the microphone.
I've blown on the microphone. I mean,
I'm sure you have.
If you know, I mean, like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, yeah.
I think I do. So what else should we talk about on this podcast?
I don't know.
What else? What else is on your mind?
What's on my mind? I don't know. I don't know what I want to talk about.
I hear you clicking as usual. What are you doing? Are you animating or are you playing a game?
I'm not.
Are you multitasking? No. You're not doing a word search, are you?
I've finished my work for the
evening?
Night. For the evening. It's 2:22 in the morning.
It's 2 in the morning. What is wrong with you?
I'm doing a podcast. It's very important.
Yes.
Very important. You know. It's, yeah. I'm, I don't know what else to talk about. I've been drawing one. Oh, man, Salt came out. It's not
yes.
It's not the, how did you feel about it? Because I don't know if they've fixed some of the problems that I flagged with it yet. I flagged a few glitches, but how did you feel about it? Review a game that I worked on.
Okay, well, Salt was an interesting game. The narrative was interesting. It was definitely a bleak sort of setting, and it was an interesting. I'll do a bullet point review because it's a short.
I think you just did.
It was made in 48. No, I have more bullet points. It was 40. It was made in 48 hours, if I'm not mistaken. Yes,
it was. Except I only worked on it for a mere fraction of the 48 hours.
Okay.
I only did animations, so I spent a bunch of time. Plus, I had lots of Blackwell work to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, these are my general bullet point impressions of Salt. One was there were a couple of hotspots that were really tricky to find.
Yeah, I've flagged those for review.
Yeah.
What?
I like the way you put that.
I'm a professional now. This is how we talk. Etc.
Professional.
Et moving forward.
Is what you are.
Etc. I can do this. I worked in a bank for 3 years. I know how to talk.
Yes, yes. Hum, hum, hum.
Hum, hum.
Hum, 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 hum. Adjust your monocle and your top hat. Hum, hum, hum. What else? Oh, yes. The walk cycles were very clearly Ben Chandler walk cycles, and I didn't find out until I spoke with you that you'd actually done the character sprites as well, which do not look like Ben Chandler sprites. But
as I said, I did my best to match Victor's style, and I'm pretty happy with how it turned out.
Yes. For some reason, the sound was not working correctly on my version. I don't know if it was intentional or if it was just something to do with the Lua DLL or whatever. But I don't think the sound was working right. It was very poppy, and it sounded
by
like
poppy. You don't mean like hit me, baby, one more time.
No, I mean like
glitchy.
Yeah, glitchy, and poppy. But I mean, I don't hold that against the game because it still was, you know, it just made me sad that I couldn't really appreciate the music. Although it was kind of an ambient track anyway, but
yeah,
still.
I like ambient tracks, you know.
Yeah.
I often find one thing I used to find if like you'd ask for music for a game and you expect to get some ambient track and you find someone's putting tons of effort and you're like, I didn't really need you to put this much effort in, but that's cool, you know. Yeah.
Another thing that bugged me a little tiny bit was it kind of had, in addition to the tiny hotspots, it kind of suffered from the whole sort of putting things in plain sight that you don't need right away and can't interact with until the story requires you to. Most notably was the fire axe, which...
Yeah.
The fire axe.
Spoilers.
Oh,
spoilers. You've just ruined a puzzle.
There's an object. Well, I'm not gonna.
It's a fire axe. You've spoiled it.
There's a fire axe in the background, and the fire axe. What?
Ooh.
Why are you crying?
Because you've spoiled a puzzle in my game. Well, it's not my game.
It's like your game. Did you draw the axe?
No, I did not draw the axe. Victor.
Then you have
axe.
Nothing to come.
Well, I drew the axe when he was animating with the axe.
Yeah. Okay.
So there.
Oh, you just spoiled it. I wasn't gonna mention any animations with the axe. But here you go and spoil it. Good job. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I am. Ha ha! Good work, Ben. I'm always proud of myself. Are you kidding me?
And I got a message from Joel Staphausto. Hello,
Joel. Hello, Joel. You played his game.
I did. Oh, there's another game I played, but I'll talk about that later.
Okay. Come on, let's go. So let's get this over with, so we can talk about Cathy Rain, because I played Cathy Rain, and I mentioned this briefly last podcast.
Yes. Good. Okay. So So there's an axe, and it's brightly colored. The rest of the background is very, very earth tone and muted colors. And there's this bright big fire axe. It's just begging you to pick it up. When you click on it, you get that's not necessary. So it's not until later in the game that you actually need it, but yeah, it was a little bit frustrating. And there's a couple of other objects.
That's fair, I think.
But, you know, I mean, it's a short game, so it can be forgiven.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. It was nice for, you know, the backgrounds were beautiful. I mean,
oh, man.
Did those backgrounds and colored them all in 48 hours, my hat's off even more to Victor, because that is some
guy's got some talent.
Yeah, he seriously does. Okay, so let's talk about Cathy Rain.
Hi, Cathy. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Cathy. Hi, Joel.
You know what really excites me at Cathy Rain the most is what's coming up. Not so much what we've played, which was fun and good and nice. I like the fact that, you know, I don't want to spoil Joel's game because he hasn't announced too many details of it, but I like the fact that his puzzles feel quite tangible, you know. You can notice, I don't know if you noticed it, but I noticed that Gabriel and I influence a lot in the game, you know.
I was just going to say, in fact, I was just actually going to ask, what do you think Joel thinks about the Gabriel Knight remake?
Oh, let's make up Joel's mind. I'll be Ben and ask you, and
you
be Joel.
It would be hilarious if we just like randomly patched him into our call and asked him.
Let's do it. Where is he? Oh, is he at work? He's probably at work.
It's 8:28 at night.
Get him. I'm busy playing Rogue Legacy. Get him in.
Hold on. Let me make sure I can.
You can. You can do this. Just call him up. Just dial him up.
I'm not going to dial him up without asking his permission first.
We should dial Macca up. He does it to us. We should just call him up. Just say, Macca, you're on the podcast. Wake up. We should do this. I feel this is a good thing.
This is like podcast.
Now he knows we're going to do it. Edit that out. Take that out.
Oh.
If he listens to the podcast, he'll know we're going to do it.
He doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yes, he does.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll never know when it's happening, though. So
no, he won't. You're right.
He won't know if it's just a normal...
Are you listening to this, Macca? We will get you.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Joel's free to talk. Let's patch him in.
Let's do it. All right.
All right. We have Joel Staphausto.
Yeah, welcome to the AGS podcast.
Yes,
Christ. This is
you're our very first renegade guest.
Yeah, so for those that don't know of Joel, he's currently making a game in AGS called Cathy Rain. He's just finished up a stint at Starbreeze Studios, where he worked on games like Syndicate
and Two Sons.
He's now working for Paradox Interactive, where he's working on Magicka Wizard Wars. How are you, Joel?
Well, I'm fine. Thanks for asking. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're all right.
Yeah, so we were just talking about you, and we thought, hey, Joel's there. Let's get him on the call. Let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah, let's surprise him and interview him.
Yeah, I'm loving this right now.
Good. So we've
Joel,
both...
The first thing we want to talk to you about is Cathy Rain, because that's what we were talking about. Tell us about Cathy Rain.
Well, I first came up with the concept in 2011, I think. And I've been working on it every now and then. And, in some periods of time, more intensively than others. I wanted to sort of make... Cathy Rain is sort of a mix of Twin Peaks and Veronica Mars. You have this sassy girl detective type coming to this weird... small town with an underlying mystery sort of. That's the basic premise. Cat comes back to her hometown. She's there for her grandfather's funeral, and she finds out that he was investigating some strange occurrences around town. And that's where their player comes in. And I don't want to say too much, but that's the basic premise.
Sure.
Good.
More focus on adventure game puzzles and less focus on dancing red midgets.
No.
You said it was a Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that was a Twin Peaks.
No way. Yeah. I'm really inspired by David Lynch in general. I think he does some really cool stuff that it's both surreal and it can be really funny and weird. And I love that. And I want to try to put some stuff like that in my game.
Good. Now, another thing we wanted to talk to you about. Clearly,
We can segue this.
Yes, we can.
Because we both recently played Cathy Rain, and one thing that really struck us was how much inspiration I think you took from Gabriel Knight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
So now, we were just safe to say that you are a fan of Gabriel Knight, especially Sins of the Fathers.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of all the Gabriel Knights, but especially the first one. Yes.
Good. Now, have you heard the news today?
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You're in.
Gabriel Knight 4? Are you?
No, actually.
No.
You've heard of Jane Jensen's Mystery Game X, have you not?
Yes.
Well, it was revealed today that Mystery Game X is, in fact, a remake of Gabriel Knight 1, Sins of the Fathers.
Really?
Well,
wow.
Show him the link. Show him the link. I want to hear his reaction live.
Yes. Oh, we get to hear your reactions live. Excellent. Hold on. I've got some screenshots for you, as a matter of fact. Let's find out if I can get to this website here. Actually, I can just paste them from the conversation I was having with you earlier. All right. So the very first screenshot that was released today was St. George's Books, which, as you know, is a classic screenshot.
This is going to be great.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let's see if I can get the chat window up here. There it is. Oh, man, that's awesome. Oh, I love that painting.
I see. Okay. Let's have a look at this one, where we can see a concept of Gabriel and Jackson Square.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Okay. And finally, well, there's plenty of others, but this is Gabriel's character portrait, apparently, if they're keeping character portraits.
I was going to say, if there's anything that really got me, it was this character portrait that really made me went, oh, hang on a minute.
Creepy.
Mm. Are you in a haunted house, John? How do you feel about the character portrait? I miss his hair.
Yeah, it does look quite like him, I think. But I don't know.
Okay. So
Joel sounds quite happy about it.
Yes, having seen these screenshots, would you anticipate playing this game? Oh, by the way, they've also announced that they're not getting Tim Curry back. They're having re-recording all of the voices with actors from Bay Area Sound, which is the company that Telltale uses.
Okay, well, that's gonna suck, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah. Now, having seen these screenshots, do you anticipate playing this game? Does it look like something that interests you?
No way. Of course, I'm gonna play it. Come on, I'm a huge fan.
Okay, that's fair enough.
This is quite funny because earlier Grundeslev was talking about on this very podcast how he's not very happy with the look of the remake. So
I think it looks horrible and soulless. Quite horrifying, and I'm sad and furious that they would have done this to one of my favorite games. But hey, what? You know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Oh, Lord. But anyway, that's good. So, there we go. There we have it. Straight from professional games developer.
Yes. And from jackass me. I will say that I'd said before, I think that the fact that Jane Jensen herself is involved is a bit more of a saving grace, but no pun intended, by the way.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, but I really just think that they should have left it alone and made a new Gabriel Knight instead of remaking the first one, but hey.
Yeah, you'd prefer a fourth Gabriel Knight?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what they'd do with it, you know. I wonder if they'd make it in the same sort of style as Grey Matter, because I think Grey Matter didn't have a bad visual style.
No, Grey Matter looked all right.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I think there's potential there. Mm. So, I know Jane Jensen's listening, so let's encourage her. You know, let's encourage her now.
Yes, Jane... Jane doesn't listen to this podcast.
Joel, are you going to tell him, or am I going to have to tell him? So one of us has to tell him.
Tell him what?
Tell him that, of course, Jane Jensen listens to us. Everyone listens to our podcast. We're important and influential.
Of course, yeah.
Actually,
everyone I know.
Yeah. We're up to 24 subscribers.
There you go, man. 24 people, that's a lot.
24 people is a lot. That's like...
Hello.
Hello, 24 people.
And probably more than that. Like, you know. One-off listeners and people that don't use RSS feeds, which, to be fair, is quite a few.
Yeah.
So, you know, we update the thread. People check the thread.
Yeah, we announce on Twitter, etc.
Yeah, that's right. So, hey, is there anything else we can talk about with Joel?
Yeah, Joel, is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we throw you away?
Goodbye.
Well, I feel thrown away already.
No, welcome you.
Well, this was really fun and unexpected, so, yeah.
Good.
We basically, we sober drunk dialed you.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway. So yeah. Well, have you got any message to give to all the young kids that listen to our podcast that need inspiring?
Any insight from working the, you know, from being a professional game developer that you can help the kids out there?
A professional programmer especially.
Yeah.
Well, just work hard as hell. That's all the advice I can give. That's the only thing I did. And I think you're a strong proponent of that as well, Ben.
I am, yes.
I mean, how insanely much time you spend on your work and just improving your skills and everything. So,
are you kidding me? I'm doing a podcast while playing with my cat. And that was not a euphemism.
If only it was. If it was anyone else, it would be. But...
Yeah. No, I've really been playing with my cat. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think we should leave a message for your future self so you can sort of remind your future self, keep your future self grounded in reality. I think that'd be important. So if you'd like to leave a message for your future self, feel free. He's clearly not interested. Future Joel. I'm not interested. I've got a message for Future Joel. Thank you for being on the podcast at such short notice.
Yes.
It was kind of short. Yeah.
It was lovely to speak with you. When you have Kathy Rain finished, we'll have to get you back on the podcast and you can tell everyone more about it. And put some dancing red midgets in there.
Yeah, and actually give you a warning.
There will be midgets, I promise you.
Oh, good. Good. Equal opportunity game design.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, thanks, Joe.
Yes, thank you for being on our podcast. We'll let you get back to your coal now.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Goodbye. Right. So,
good.
That was Joel Staphasto.
That really was. It really was.
It really
I'm
was.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't want to leave a message for his future self.
I'm a little disappointed that he's looking forward to Gabriel Knight.
Is he your arch nemesis now?
Well, no, it's not that. It's just I kind of want to rally a group of supporters to go out with knives and pitchforks and torches over to Pinkerton Road and be like, "What are you doing, Jane Jensen?" But I don't know. Maybe I'll find someone else.
You'll find someone out there, surely. I think Darth Helmet's listening. So Dan, hello, Grundeslav needs your help. Now.
Yeah, help me out, Dan. Come on over and bring over the gas and the pitches, the pitchforks.
And Jad James, basically, if you need the gas. He's a good kid, but he's a kid.
Man, we should have him on our podcast.
Oh, so now scream. There's an idea. There's a cool idea. We can get him to tell us jokes.
Joel is calling me. He's saying that we're evil.
How are we evil?
I don't feel.
I just check my alignment and it's chaotic good as it's always been.
Oh my god.
I grew up playing D&D games. Not pen and paper ones on the computer. What do you expect? What more do you want from me, Grundislav?
You really want me to answer that question?
Anyway, I feel we should wrap this podcast up because we've had a lot of excitement.
You feel that we should wrap up a podcast? That's new.
Really do. But before we go,
yes.
Before we go, I just want to talk about one thing.
Uh-huh.
Is I've been playing a game, an adventure game, an old adventure game called Flight of the Amazon Queen. You've played it.
Yes, I have.
How do you feel about Flight of the Amazon Queen?
It was pretty forgettable from what I remember. Which doesn't make
joking?
Any sense. I'm not joking. That's the main character. Yes.
Some of the humor is pretty strange. Some of the puzzles are really strange. Man, the puzzle with the gorilla,
Have you revealed the plot where the scientist wants to turn all the girls into dinosaurs yet?
Yeah, I actually quite liked that cutscene. It was quite adorably silly.
It's silly.
Yeah, but, I got past the gorilla. But one thing that I just wanted to mention that I really liked, and I wish more games did this, because I've never seen it in any other game, is when you go up to the big top of the rock spire and you move your mouse cursor and the map rotates around. I like that. That's really cute.
I don't remember that. It's been a few years since I played, so I don't remember all the finer details of the game. But
okay. Well, there's this basically, yeah. As I said it just then, it really impressed me how you can as you spin your mouse around, the whole map rotates around and Joe King turns his head like he's looking around the map. I really like that. I like interesting map scenes. So there you go.
Good.
So that's the one thing so far that's really impressed me about Flight of the Amazon Queen.
Well, good. Because, to be honest, I don't think there's going to be anything else.
Oh, but I'm a Silver Linings kind of guy, and I don't mean the game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we didn't mention to Joel that Phoenix... Well, that's irrelevant. But anyway.
It's irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
You're absolutely right. It totally is. Anyway.
You're an elephant.
You're
human.
You're an elephant.
We were just talking about David Lynch.
We totally were. Everything comes back to everything else, doesn't it?
Everything comes back to David Lynch.
Yes.
Good. And that I am a human.
Mm-hmm. You keep telling yourself that, Kitty.
Yeah. So, was a podcast, I think,
I think that's good for this episode of this podcast.
If this was our 21st podcast, it's all right to be a little bit drunk. Or was it our 22nd?
This was the 22nd podcast.
We're still hungover. That's what it is. That explains everything.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so thank you for listening. And,
thanks for listening, and sorry
for... Hang on. I'm really grateful for people listening. I just want to point this out. I'm not just saying thank you for listening. I really, really, really appreciate it. Not really, I'm just playing. See ya.
Bye.